Well, good evening, friends. Happy Ash Wednesday? Is that the proper greeting for tonight? Joyous Ash Wednesday? My name's Clint. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to thank you all for joining us either here in person or online for our Ash Wednesday service. And this service is a little bit different. It's a little bit more contemplative than our normal worship services. And really the purpose of tonight is to take stock of where we're at, to look at our lives and say, where am I spiritually? How am I interacting with other people? What's my relationship with God like? Where in my life do I need to repent? Because tonight is ultimately a time of repentance, both for us as individuals and for us as a bigger community. Because as individuals, we fall short. We don't do the things that we should do, or we do things that we know we shouldn't do. We sin. And that's what that sin, it can get in the way of our relationship with God and our relationships with other people. So we need to repent as individuals, but repentance can happen at the community level too. We see in Scripture this theme of God's chosen people, and as a community, they fall short of who they are created to be. And when they become aware that they've fallen short, there's a time of sorrow and repentance and a time of turning back to God and then a commitment to live the way that they were called to live as God's chosen people. So friends, you know, it's been a hard season for our church the last couple years. And at the beginning of this Lenten season, we have an opportunity, both as individuals, but also as a community, to pivot, to repent, to reorient our lives around God in big ways and little ways. So tonight, as we start our service, I want to begin this process by reading together Psalm 130. So this is a penitential psalm. It helps us to repent. It helps us to move back towards God. So friends, let's read this psalm together. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. All right, so friends, let's continue to worship together. We're going to do a couple more songs, and then we'll begin the next part of our service.
Forever all my days. to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Teach myself to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach myself to rise to you. I need you.
Thanks, guys. All right, friends, you can be seated. Once again, my name is Clint. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for joining us online. Here we are at our Ash Wednesday service. Today starts what we call Lent, and Lent is this 40-day period. You know what? Spoiler alert, it's not actually 40 days because they don't count Sundays. So if you go on the calendar, it's a little bit more than 40 days. But Sundays don't count because Sundays are a holy day. They're a day of feasting and rejoice. So Lent is this 40-day period leading up to Easter. And 40 is one of those numbers that we see pop up over and over and over again in the Bible. And it's usually this time of preparation before something big happens. You know, we see Elijah, he walks for 40 days in the desert as he approaches Mount Sinai. We see Jesus, he prays and fasts for 40 days in the wilderness before he starts his public ministry. So we see this in Scripture. We also see in early church history this period of time that is set aside for disciples of Christ to prepare to celebrate fully on Easter. So that's kind of what Ash Wednesday is. That brings us here today. Today is the start of this period of preparation for Easter and Holy Week through fasting. So you may be asking, Clint, what's with the ashes? It's Ash Wednesday, what's with the ashes? And I'd say, thank you for asking, because that sets me up for my next point. The ashes, they mean a couple different things. First, they're a sign of repentance. Oftentimes in Scripture, we see that when people become aware of their sin, when they're confronted by it, when they look it right in the face, their response is to cover themselves with dust or ashes as this outward sign of their internal repentance. Second, we as people, in Genesis, we see that God creates people out of the dust of the earth. So the ashes are a sign that we're dust, that we are created in the image of God out of dust, and that someday we are going to return to dust. We are all going to die. Isn't that a fun thought? We're all going to die. Even my four-year-old, Lucy, she's a little dark. The other day we were watching Home Alone, because we always watch Home Alone. That's like her movie. She pauses Home Alone, and she looks at me, and she goes, Daddy, I'm a little afraid of dying. 4 years old. There's this awareness of our mortality. Ash Wednesday is a chance to think about that, that someday we will return to the dust. Lastly, these ashes, they help us identify our need for Jesus. We acknowledge that, like it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we put it all together, today is a callback to who we truly are. We remember that we are God's chosen people, made out of dust in his image, and someday we're going to die, and we all fall short. Put it together, Ash Wednesday is a callback to who we were meant to be. It's a chance for us to reflect on the ways that we've fallen short, and not in a, woe is me, I'm the worst kind of a way, but it's a chance to take true stock, say, where am I? And to create space today for the Holy Spirit to move, to transform us, to change us, so that we can move forward being the people that we truly are, being the community that we are called to be. Today is a day of repentance. It's a call to action. It's a chance to recenter, to refocus, and to embrace on a deeper level that transformative love of God that laid itself bare on the cross. It's a chance for us to taste a glimpse of the freedom that awaits us. So friends, as we begin the Lenten season, I want to take a look at a story of repentance from the Old Testament. So the story we're going to read, it comes out of Jonah chapter 3. Great book, highly recommend it, more than just about a big fish. So a little bit of context. God has gone to Jonah and he said, Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh and tell them, I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah says, I don't think so. And he runs away. Big fish. Fish brings him back. He goes, okay, maybe I better go. So this is kind of where we pick up that story. This is Jonah 3. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days. See, there's that number 40 again. Oh my gosh. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. So there's a couple things that we can learn from this story in Jonah chapter 3. First, we can learn how to take stock of where we truly are. We can come face to face with our sins. We can become aware of them. This is what Lent is about. It's about self-examination. During Lent, we let the masks down. We don't try to minimize our sin or the consequences of it. We don't say, it's not that bad, or everybody's doing it, or, you know, I only did that thing because of X, Y, and Z. You know, my oldest daughter, Clara, she comes up to me the other day and she goes, Daddy, I hit Lucy on purpose. I'm like, okay, why? Well, she looked at me funny, or something like that, you know? But we don't make excuses. We just say, Daddy, I hit Lucy. We get face to face. Please don't hit my daughter. Just saying. We get face to face with that. We become present to our sins. We face it head on and we own it. And then we're met with the transformative love of God. There's no shame there. Only love and forgiveness and the power to transform ourselves so that we can live into our calling as the people of God. So this Lent, let's take some time. Let's get present to where we fall short. Let's face it. We can face it without fear, knowing that God will never leave us. He'll never abandon us. He'll never forsake us. He's with us. In verse 6, we see the king of Nineveh does this. Jonah's word reaches him. He doesn't question it. He doesn't have Jonah arrested or killed. The king gets off his throne, takes off his robes, and he puts on sackcloth. That's another sign of mourning. And he sits down in the dust. He feels the weight of his sin and the sin of the city that he's in charge of. So today, ask yourselves, how are you really doing? Where in your life have you grown over the past year? Where are you stuck? Where have things gotten worse? This can be hard. But we all know at our core where we've fallen short. So this Lent, I'd encourage you not to hide it, not to minimize it. Get present with it. Get present with it. Because God, he doesn't want to heal the fake mask that we put on. He wants to transform the real us. So we take stock. We can ask ourselves, where am I experiencing the presence of God in my life? And where am I not? Because these two things, they can exist simultaneously. It's not like you either experience God or you don't. You can experience God in one area of your life and then be completely shut off from him in the other. You know, so maybe you go to work and you're just crushing it, right? You feel like you're able to love your coworkers well. You're able to like engage in the work. You see the work that you do as like advancing the kingdom of God. And you're like, yes, I was built for this. I know this. And then you go home and you yell at your kids. You're unkind to your spouse. You're mean to your parents.
You cheat on your taxes. I don't know what it is for you. You can experience God over here and not over here. Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe like your personal life, your relationships, your friendships, man, you just feel so much life and love. You feel the presence of God when you're hanging out with your family and it's incredible. And then you go to work and you badmouth your boss. Where is it for you? Where is it for you? Maybe, and as I was kind of thinking and praying about this service, this is one of the things that I like just hopped to my mind. Maybe for other people, you are compassionate. You extend forgiveness. You offer grace. But when it comes to the person in the mirror, there's no forgiveness there. And you're just beating yourself up over and over and over again. What would it look like this Lent to bring that before God? To let him help you forgive yourself, to experience freedom and wholeness, maybe for the first time in a long time. That can happen this Lent. So first, we take stock. Second, Lent is a time of repenting, of fasting, of taking things off. Repentance means that we go the other way. We change course. We do something different. And we see Nineveh live this out in verses 7 and 8. This is a proclamation he issued in Nineveh. Verses 7 and 8, it says, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their violent ways." Nineveh radically changed course. They fasted. They repented. They changed their behavior. Lent is a time of fasting. It's a time of spiritual spring cleaning. Because when we fast, we deny ourselves something to engage with something else. We can take things off or we can put things on. And as Becca, you preached this last weekend, right? No? Who was it? Steph? Oh, it was Steph. I see her back there somewhere. She was there. Steph said, it's not if we fast, but when we fast as followers of Jesus. This was just a thing that the early church got. They understood that this wasn't an optional thing. This is good. This is healthy. This is a way to spiritually spring clean ourselves, to recenter, to refocus. What we do is when we fast, we're creating space in our lives, space that we can then use to fill with the presence and power of God. We're redirecting our awareness. We're redirecting our energy and our resources. We're redirecting ourselves and allowing them to be transformed by God. Fasting is worship. Fasting is for us. It brings us into the presence of God so that we can be transformed. Fasting is for other people too. We can use the resources that are freed up to bless other people. Our transformation will be a blessing to other people. Fasting is worship. It's good for us, and it's good for other people. But fasting, it's not just this thing that's supposed to make us miserable. It's not just, oh, I didn't eat for a day, and now I'm hangry and mad, but I'm holy. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is a heart thing. And I love this verse. It's out of Isaiah 58. It's verses 3 through 8. It's talking about true fasting. It says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. I think I cut the verse short. And you'll heal something, something, something. Good stuff. Look it up. That's your homework. Go look it up. See? Application steps. This is what fasting is about. It's not about being hungry. It's about ourselves being transformed so that we can help usher in the kingdom of God. So we can partner with Jesus to make the world perfect again. When I think about this verse, this is just how my brain works. So if this isn't how your brain works, I'm sorry. I think of the movie Aladdin. Bet you didn't think you're going to get an Aladdin reference on Ash Wednesday, did you? So if you remember in the movie Aladdin, Aladdin is a poor kid living on the street, and he steals a loaf of bread. And there's a whole musical number where he's trying to escape with the bread. He finally gets away, and him and his little monkey friend sit down in an alley, and they're about to eat this loaf of bread. And they look over, and what do they see? Two young orphan kids sitting there hungry, alone, and scared. So Aladdin takes the bread that he had to work really hard to get. We're not going to talk about the stealing part. And he gives it to these other two kids. He goes without so that they can have. So what does that look like for you? As you're thinking about things to take on or take off, as you're thinking about fasting, how can we do it to, yes, transform us, but also bless other people? What does that look like for you? And there's lots of different ways to fast. So you can fast from food. So food's a really good thing. It's kind of the traditional thing. And when you fast from food, what happens? You get hungry. You get hangry. One of the biggest fights my wife and I got into was when one of us wasn't eating and got real mad at the other one. It's as much as you're getting from me about that one today. We call that discernment. But when you get hungry, when you get hangry, there's physical reactions in your body, and those can act as a trigger to point you in a different direction, to point you towards, say, prayer. Lord, I'm hungry, but we know that there is more to life than bread, that man doesn't live on bread alone. Would you come? Would you fill me? And you begin to cultivate that awareness in your life because you're hungry. Or you're hungry and you get hangry and you're like, Lord, why is my reaction to get angry? You begin to have that dialogue. So we can fast from food. We can fast from lots of things. You know, we can fast from media. You know, and instead of running to Facebook to see, you know, how many people are mad at the things that we're mad at, or who we can get mad at because they don't think that the things that we're passionate about are the same. We can get rid of that. We can minimize that. You know, instead of checking Facebook 35 times a day, we could check it once. We can tone that down. And instead of doing the doom scroll, we can press into Scripture. Lord, I don't need to read another article making me more and more angry. What I need is I need more of you, your peace, your compassion, your generosity, your will to act, your wisdom. So instead of reading stuff in the media, I'm going to focus on Scripture for the next 40 days. That's one option. Some people get really creative. Some people fast from, like, comfortable things. Like one of our pastors, she's no longer on staff. She retired. Yay. Her name's Casey. One Lent, Casey fasted from socks. From socks. And she usually wore, what are they called? Those fancy sandals. Birkenstocks? Are they the open ones? I wear Crocs. I don't know. But so for Lent, she would walk outside, and every time her feet got wet, she'd press into gratitude. She'd remember, like, oh, there's more to life than comfort. So you could fast from something like that, some little comfort that you give up that then points you towards gratitude. And I love, there's this quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you don't know much about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German pastor in Nazi Germany that kind of spoke out against the Nazi regime. Really cool dude, look him up. But he says, we do not complain of what God does not give us. We rather thank God for what he does give us daily. So what if this Lent, we denied ourselves something in order to focus on all the blessings that God does give us? Imagine the work God would do in us if each one of us began to realize all the blessings that we had, big and small, every single day. Another thing that we can do during Lent is we can press into self-denial. Ooh, that's a fun one, right? Self-denial, intentionally not doing the things that we want to do. How does that work? Maybe it means you get uncomfortable. Maybe it means you give up, an evening during the week to volunteer for a cause. Maybe it means instead of going home and curling up with that good book, you know, and just hanging out and relaxing and being cozy and comfortable, you deny yourself that and you go meet with a friend who's struggling. You go meet with that coworker that you don't like. You deny yourself to create space for something else. So friends, these are just examples of things that we can fast from. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you're supposed to fast from. But in a little bit, we're going to create some time. We're going to create some space so that we can listen to God. And the Holy Spirit is going to point you in the direction that you need to go.